privilege for all of us when we come together as a family to worship the same God, not a different God. We all worship the same God, our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's a good thing, because for those of us that are walking that path, we know it's the true path. We know in our hearts that we're not walking in disobedience. And even if we were to do something wrong, we can go to the Lord, as it says in 1 John, we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Not only that, but he promised to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means that you and me are going to stand before God as righteous beings. We're going to be like Jesus was, because we're allowing him to work in us. He promised to be in us. Amen? How many have Jesus today? That's good, ain't it? And I want you to stand with me as I read a familiar passage in the Bible in Romans 6:23. Because it specifically talks about a gift. And this time of year, we are, as Christians, celebrating a time that has been put in place in remembrance of Christ our Lord. Amen. So, Romans 6:23. And it's a very familiar passage, but I believe one that needs to be remembered this time of year, because we're all going around, perhaps many of us going to the stores and we're buying stuff, and we kind of have made Christmas into a time of giving, which we as Christians, we know that the greatest gift is the one that we're going to talk about today. Amen? So let me go to Romans. I'm going to find it here. Okay, praise the Lord. Romans 6:23 says, amen. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, everybody say the gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Christmas is taken from a word that means Christ, but Mass. It's like a celebration. It's something that the Catholic Church brought up in the 19th century too, so that we can celebrate Christ. It's a day, a special day taken apart, which I think it's a good thing. Other than our holy days that we have, the Good Friday and things like that, it's something that I think should keep a rhythm. I think there should be something every season that would give us remembrance of our Lord and Savior. But we Christians, we that have been born again, need to celebrate Christmas every single day. If you have Christ, like I have Christ, Christ must be in us every single day. Lighten up our pathway, lighten up our lives to the point that people will see Christmas in us, not only on December 25th, but we'll see Christmas in us every single day. Praise the Lord. And Romans 6:23, I like it because it lets us know that God has given us a gift. And a good thing for us to, or a good title for this message would, could be, what is the perfect gift? What would be the perfect gift? And we know that it's Jesus. But there's a lot of people that don't know that or are not sure that Jesus is the perfect gift. But we that have experienced it and live in it daily, we know that life isn't perfect. Things aren't always or don't always go as we would want them to go. But we know that every single day that God gives is a day of grace, a day of mercy, a day of compassion. There's so many good things that we could think of and so many titles we can give our Lord. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. We sung some songs saying, He is our Deliverer. He is your Provider. He is your Comfort. He is your Joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And we can consider all those things gifts that God gives us because we rely on the gift giver, which is the Lord our God. And nobody can give greater gifts than He can. During this season, we're going to go and we're going to shop. We're going to go to different places. And we're going to just, as a Christian, we're going to go with that type of heart, a giving heart. Some of us that are not well off in our financially, we may give lesser things, a card, which is, at this point, I think that's about as good as we can give as a family, but it's still the picture of a Christian should be, I'm giving you this because I've been given something. It gives you an opportunity, it gives me an opportunity to share the greatest gift of all. It's like the season itself and the holiday, they call it a holiday, we call it a holy day, is it's gives you an open door to begin to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should this time of season not feel sad or not feel a sense especially of depression, because there's just the devil is busy and this year I lost my mother, and Janet lost her dad, and many of you maybe have lost someone. The sister here lost a loved one, and there's going to be sadness. There's a verse that says, angry, sin not. If you're sad, don't get depressed about this. You're going to get sad. Our Lord cried. So it's not nothing to be ashamed of. It's not even a moment to say, well, maybe I'm depressed. Don't give the devil any space in your life. You are not depressed. You are in an emotional state in that very moment that God has given you. He's given you that ability. He's given you those feelings and those emotions so that you won't be like a robot, so to say, so that you can get the whole impact of a human being. But now that you're a Christian, you also get the full impact of being a spirit man filled with the Spirit of God. And you are able, like me, to do all things through Christ, knowing that He has the power to strengthen you. And that is something that we must begin to see as Christians, and we got to live it out. Christmas is not just a one-time thing. It's something that needs to be lived every single day. Every single day. God said it this way, go into the world and preach the gospel. Go into the world and preach it. He didn't say stay home. He didn't say come to church and preach the gospel. He said go into the world. Why? Because Pastor said, for God so loved the world. He loved the world. In other words, He loved the sinner. The sinner, the person that sometimes we ignore, A person that sometimes we even feel highly above them when the scriptures tell us something differently, that we should make them feel we should think of them highlier than we are. Why? Because they're in a need. That it's more of an emergency situation for them than for us. Because we are familiar. We know. And sometimes familiarity gets the best of us, and we lose track of and focus of what God really wants us to do. So I'm going to try to, like I started off by saying about the perfect gift. The perfect gift is Jesus. And don't stop going shopping. Don't stop. Do those things. Go out there and do the things you got to do, because in doing that, God is going to remind you of the true meaning of Christmas. And you might just be able to get your point across about God, which is not your point, it's his point, his purpose, his plan. And you might just be able to share that good news that the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we need Jesus. So he would be the perfect gift, because we would be forgiven. We would be in relationship with our God through Christ Jesus. I would even dare say that forgiveness is probably one of the most important gifts for us to receive from God, because the Bible also says that without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So Jesus, which is the perfect gift, had to come so that you and I can receive forgiveness. Forgiveness. Some might say, oh, no, me, I don't sin. I've never sinned. But the Bible is clear in Romans, and it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's amazing that God would look upon us sinners with compassion, with a love that we try to demonstrate it daily in our lives with our companions, with our children, with our co-workers, perhaps even our bosses, but we find ourselves always falling short. And sometimes the love that we demonstrate is based, it's okay when it benefits us, when it's convenient for us. But how about when it's not convenient? God tells us to press forward, and we still gotta love. Peter, on one occasion, what happened? Peter said, "How many times do I have to forgive my brother? Is 7 times enough?" Everybody remember that situation? And like I was saying, forgiveness is a gift. And Peter felt that 7 times was good enough. The conversation went on and said that if my brother offended me, so he was talking about like that very day, would 7 times be okay? But Jesus told him 7 times 70. So when God forgives us, it's multiplied for one day 7 times 70. So what Jesus was saying, that try to multiply 7 times 70, I'm not good at math, but 5 days a week with 7 days a week and the 300 plus days that we have a year, how many times does God forgive us? You see, it's going to continue, and that's 1 year, but we live on for years and years and years, and it continues to multiply itself. And sometimes we're so down on ourselves when we commit sins. But thank God. I thank God for that, because I know that it's because It's no longer me that liveth, but Christ liveth within me. And then he, since he's holy, he's simply doing his work inside of us. And he's not trying to make you feel small. He's simply trying to heal something that needs to be healed in you. And I would say it's a sense of confidence, knowing that God is your Father, and you can go to him at any time and say, Lord, I failed you. Now, recover me, restore me, refill me, renew me. Glory be to God. Ain't it good that when you go before God, he can renew you, he can restore you, he can refill you? If you eat every day and if you drink water every day, it's because you thirst. We need to thirst more and more and more of God. That way he can fill us, and keep filling us. Give the Lord a hand clap for a minute there. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. So I want to turn your attention to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because remember, Jesus was born in the manger, and the shepherds and the kings said, where is the babe? We came here to worship the king. We all know that Jesus was that king, and that later on, he was declared the King of Kings. When you pray, it's okay to say, King Jesus, reign in my heart. Our hearts need to be like a king sits on a throne, right? And displays his authority and his power. We need to make Jesus and allow him to sit on the throne of our hearts, because sometimes we got things on that throne that ain't Jesus at all. You know, we got treasures that are earthly treasures. We got our own mind mentality, and sometimes all that bottles up, and that begins to sit on the throne of our hearts when Christ desires to sit on that throne. After all, if he's Lord, our Lord, he needs to sit there so that he can display his power, his authority over every circumstance, over every situation that you're going through. You're going to go through some trying times. You're going to be put in a fire. I heard somebody talking about, Luke was talking about a fire to Shadrach, Meshach, and you're going to go through situations that you're not going to feel comfortable, but I guarantee you that the Comforter will meet you in that situation. He's done it to me so many times. In this life, I've been through so much, you know, and I know I'm going to go through more, because if I am righteous because of the work that's working in me, Christ is working in me for his good on his behalf, that I am going to continue. The Bible says many are the afflictions of a righteous man. But it says what? But the Lord what? Deliver them from them all. So then, you're going to be afflicted. You might get sick. You might lose a loved one. Death might be knocking at your door. You might be placed in fire. But the Lord will deliver you of every circumstance and situation. Ain't that a great gift to have? Ain't that a great gift to share with a family member? I know sometimes they don't want to hear it. They don't. They want to be the king sitting on the throne of their own heart. They don't know what grace is. They don't know what mercy is. But we know, and if we want to be forgiven, and if we want mercy, we need to extend it also. That is God's purpose. That's what let your light shine means. It's when you do that, I'm literally living. I no longer live, but Christ liveth within me. You're living that in that very moment. When you allow Jesus to shine, his will, his purpose hasn't finished. John 3:16 still goes on. For God still loves the world. He didn't just love it at one. He still loves it. Jesus hasn't come because why? He's willing that no man perish. That's why he hasn't come. We sometimes wonder as Christians, why? Oh, God, but why? Why this? Why that? And all the answers, which is another gift, are written in his word. They're written there. It's wonderful to hear the word of God, to be taught the word of God, and it's wonderful to sing the word of God because God inhabits the praises of his people, and I want God to be close to me. I don't know about you. I need God close to me. I need him, and I know if you look deep down inside, you need him as well. But let us focus again, and I want that this, Jen, if she can, to put up. I want to read something so wonderful that every time I look at it, it just reminds me of the goodness of God. There's so much that you, if you think, you can think of what God has done in your life this year. And whatever he's done in your life, if you can multiply that somehow. In other words, if you can go to someone and share that testimony or maybe do something that God did for you and do that to somebody else, you will be demonstrating God. You will be demonstrating to others that God liveth in you, that you are forgiven. You were once dead like me, and he has raised us from the dead. God has resurrected us. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Ain't that good? Ain't those good, powerful words that if you are down and out, they will lift you up? Oh, man, God is good. So let us go to trying to get my papers here together. Matthew, and I'm going to read this because it talks about a king, and we serve the King of Kings. We serve Jesus, so I'm going to try to focus and base the message upon this, what I'm going to read. I said all these good things that Jesus is, and we talked about the gift of God, but now we're going to see that what I assume to be one of the greatest gifts, which is Jesus, but has to do with what we needed, what we all need, what all mankind needs, because for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we need forgiveness. So I want us to focus. And look, it's something that I was reading earlier, but I just want to take us back there where it says here in Matthew 18, verse 21, it says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said unto him, I did not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Could you imagine that every single day? Because we need to forgive every day. Why? Because we want to be forgiven every day. I don't think there's a day that goes that you don't want to be forgiven, or that a day that goes by that I don't fail God one way or another. And in Matthew 6:14, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive also yours. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, that almost puts salvation in a situation like it's based upon what I do. But it's not so much that. It's just it lets people know who reigns in your heart. You see, who lives in your heart? Because if you don't forgive others their trespasses, well, then something is wrong. Jesus is not there. Somebody else is sitting on the throne of your heart. Somebody else is sitting on the throne of my heart. See? So I need to always yield and always be listening to the voice of God in my heart daily, because we want to be forgiven. So then I should forgive daily as well. I should share that. Why? Because the greatest gift is forgiveness, Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Holy God, I thank you. So Peter goes on this conversation, and the response of Christ Jesus was, no, I say unto you this, up to seven times, not up to seven times, but seven times 70. Then Jesus goes on and specifies, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. Here's where the kingship, the lordship, where Jesus needs to send. That's why I'm saying Christmas needs to be in our hearts every single day. Every single day, the gift of giving what? Giving God's word to somebody. If God's the deliverer in your life, you need to set somebody free. If God's the Prince of Peace, you need to set somebody, give somebody some peace. And not a peace of your mind, but a peace that God gives, because he's the Prince of Peace. That's why Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give it unto you. It's different. It's different. So the Bible says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted, what? To settle accounts with his servants. One day that's going to happen with us. One day we'll stand before the Lord. So this is good. This is relevant to what we're speaking. It talks about the kingdom of heaven, okay? And when he had begun, verse 24, to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, that's a large amount. I don't think this servant could ever repay that amount, ever, that amount of money. Historically, if you look into the amount, it would show you that he would never be able to. But you know how people are. They'll say, I'll repay you. We'll all say that. I'll repay you. I'll find a way. Sometimes you could be honest with what you're saying, but in other times, you just want to get rid of that person. You just don't want them around. So you tell them, I don't. But God knows the heart, doesn't he? We serve a God that searches our hearts and knows the intent of it. Praise the Lord. So this conversation goes on, and the Bible says that when he was not able to pay his master, which we all knew that was not going to happen, that he sold and his wife and children and all that he had, and the payment be made. Therefore, the servant fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will repay you all. Then the master said to the servant, while he was moved with compassion, how many believe that they have a compassionate God who is moved upon your desires many times? That's why the Bible says, ask, and you shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. And it also says, for everyone or whosoever, anyone that asks will receive. And to him that knocks, it will be opened. And he that searches will find. So verse 27 says, so the master was moved by compassion. You know, what a gift, compassion to have and to know that our King has compassion. You know, released him, the Bible says, and forgave him that debt. The King forgave him a debt that the King knew, but since it was still his responsibility, like it's our responsibility to live on this earth, right? It's our responsibility also to live every single day. We have to go out and make a living. We have to go out and live our lives. We find our mates. We have children. These are our responsibilities. But God's still working in us to perfect his goodwill, amen, over our lives. It says in Philippians 2:13, to confirm what I'm saying, it is, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good work. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, verse 28 says, but that servant went out, knowing that he was forgiven, knowing that God had forgiven, given him a beautiful gift, a gift that he knew he wasn't able to repay back. He went out. The Bible says, and he had fellow servants who owed him. And this is a less amount of money than the 10,000 talents. 100 denarii is lesser. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat when he knew that the servant had come to him. And knowing that this servant owed him something, forgetting completely that he was just forgiven a debt that he could never pay back, he grabbed his servant by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. I always look at this verse and I say, wow, what would happen if God would ever tell us, you must pay me what you owe me? But we'll find out in this story what happens when a person allows themselves, their circumstances. I'm not saying to be crazy, God knows. But when we don't allow Christ to be the center of our focus, the center of our being, to sit on the throne as king of our hearts, things don't work out too well. So he said, pay me what you owe me. And then verse 29 says, so his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged. You ever been in that situation? For whatever reason, for whatever illness you've had, whatever circumstance, maybe you were at the point, maybe you are now, I don't know, of losing your home. Maybe you've lost your job. And you are right now kneeling before God day and night. Nobody else knows it, but you're going through this. And you're praying, fervently praying, you know. And you're afraid. You might be afraid to share it with your fellow brother because of what they might say. You realize human nature is sinful, and they might let that out to someone that doesn't need to hear what you're going through. God doesn't want a church like that. Not that he doesn't love a church like that. He just doesn't want a church to be like that. He will love and continue to love even in your darkest days, even in my darkest moments. He will love through that situation. He will love you through that circumstance. He will love you through the fire. When people are talking about you, that you're poor, why are you crying? When people don't understand what you are going through, God still loves you through that situation. God will see you through that circumstance. God will pull you through. They say that a king owns everything. He has enough wealth. He has it all. A king can take you and pay. If you need medical attention, he'll get the best doctors for you so that you can be healthy. And we have the best king, don't we? Doctors has given us bad news. Our creditors give us bad news. But Jesus says, I'll free you from them all. I'll free you from them all. And you know what it'll take? 1 second, one moment. What's going to happen when we get raptured up, church? Where the debt's going to go? Where's your house going to go? Where's all the things you stored up going to go? So isn't Jesus the better gift to have? Isn't Jesus the better gift to share with to others so that they can experience the wealth that you and I have? That we don't care what tomorrow brings because we know who holds our future. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let us keep on. And He fell down. Pastor Don is saying, I feel that the presence of the Lord is going to fall down. Ronnie, you're going to fall down. She didn't mean the negative fall down. And you know, if that happens, that's okay. You know why? Because I know that if I fall down, he'll lift me up. And she knows that too. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Maybe I need it. Maybe I need to fall down. You know? Because sometimes our heads get a little too big. Sometimes we get a little bit too selfish pride in us. Too much, too much, too much. And we need to be humble. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and what? He will what? He will lift you up. I don't want to lift myself my own. So I want him to lift me up. I want him to tell me, rise up. Because if he rises me up, trust me, that's going to be enough power, enough overflow for everybody else. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to have overflow. Don't you want to have overflow? Constant overflow. Because you'll be a constant blessing to everyone. The people will see Christ. They'll see the light of Jesus in you and me. So let's go back. And it says, the servant says, have patience with me and I will pay you all. I will pay it all back to you. The Bible said, but he would not. He would not. The servant who went to the king and the king forgave him tells another servant, I will not have mercy on you. God Almighty, help us. The Bible says, but he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, I ask you, how is he going to pay that debt in prison? How? I don't know if back then they had what they have today that you can go out and work and pay some of your debts back and you can go out in the community and make some money. In some of the prisons, I think today they have work in the prison where you can earn some money also because they have education too. You can get educated. You can get your degree. Boy, we have a lot of benefits today, don't we? We've changed. We've come a long way. But God is good. Those are good things. But those things we need to be thankful for and share that grace that we've gotten, share it with others. You see somebody else is in prison with you, let them know, hey, you can get educated here. Encourage them. Maybe if you're in prison, you could still work for the Lord. You could minister the gospel. You can be a tutor. For those, if you know more than others in certain fields, certain arenas, help somebody else. That's what God wants you to do. That's what the Bible talks about, that for if you forgive men their trespasses, You know, but if you think yourself more highly of them, you're not going to help. But you've forgotten that you were in the same situation just like this servant was. I've forgotten. The Bible says, I need my glasses, I'm getting older. or younger, it's better to say younger. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison that he should pay the whole debt. So when his fellow servants saw that, see, you can do things and you think you're doing it in the dark, but somebody's always watching. Somebody's always watching. We know that God is always watching, and that's the only thing we need to know, that he is watching. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were grieved. Wouldn't that grieve you too? It should. It should grieve you when somebody is unjust to someone. It should grieve you inside. But some people, and I've done it too, we get in situations because selfishness begins to sit on our throat, and we throw up our shoulders and we go, oh, well. I've seen that practice in Christianity today a lot. The shoulders. And it's not a humble sight to watch. And God understands we can't do everything. Sometimes you have to throw yourself in a pool to be healed, or get somebody to throw you in that pool so you can get your healing. Sometimes you got to call the elders of the church because you've been praying for years and years and years and you're still not healed. So now you got to do something else so that the elders can come and pray over you, and the prayer of faith will bring forth healing. Sometimes there's things, but the resources still come from the same one. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. So then, these servants were troubled and grieved, and they said that they came and told their master all that had been. Today they would call these guys snitchers. Wouldn't they? I work at the public school system, and you hear that all the time. When a child hits another child, and that child goes to the principal, goes to a teacher and says, he hit me or she hit me, all the other kids say, you snitcher. You're a rat. You know, we get labeled. I mean, but isn't there scripture that says, do unto others as you would have them do unto, you know. But it has to begin in us, adults, us Christian adults. And we need to pass that down to our children. It has to be shared. It has to be taught. You know, you're not a, what's the word? You're not being expression a punk. You're not being, I'm sure that's a better word, but you're not a punk. You're not, because you've said something about the way you were treated, that I was treated. I said something because I don't want to be treated that way. I don't think it's right. So, I'm. If you're going to label me a snitcher, then I'll snitch. I'll take it. But let's see the rest of the story and see what happens. And my time is almost running out, but it says, then the master, after he had called him, said unto him, the master was revealed what this wicked servant had said after he was forgiven, that, and calls him, you wicked servant. Now the king is angry. You wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you. See how God wants us that when we receive, he wants us to give as well. And at the same measure. And sometimes even at a greater measure. Because God has given us at what? At greater measures. He has given us at greater measures. So we should be able to do likewise. As far as we could extend ourselves without hurting ourselves, because we're human beings, we're not God. But we need to extend ourselves just a little bit more sometimes, just to let God shine, just so that God can be glorified, because it's about his purpose. We want him to have all the glory. I don't want to get up here and sing. I don't want to come here and preach if God does not get the glory. There's no sense of it. God will get the glory more if I go out there and knock on doors and sing carols. God will get the glory more if I go out there and preach the gospel, not only by through word, but with my hands, with my feet. I can give somebody some bread. I can give somebody something that I know that they are in need of. I can give somebody some love. Hallelujah. Just like God has loved me and loves me every single day and loves you every single day. The Bible says in verse 35, and his master was angry. Don't make God angry. Please don't make God angry. I don't want to anger God. Glory be to God. Because there's a time that this world that God loves so much is going to experience the anger of God. It's going to experience the wrath. The Bible calls it the wrath of God. But you're not going to be there. I'm not going to be there. We have afflictions today, and the Lord will deliver us from them all. But we're not going to have wrath. We're not going to have God's anger upon our lives. And right now, what we're receiving, the world at the same time is receiving too, grace and mercy and compassion. What they need is a Savior. What they need is a Savior, because they live every day, they breathe every day, they do the same things we do every day, go to work, they do the same things, they laugh, they have children, this, that, the same things, but they do not have eternal life like you and I have. A gift of forgiveness so that they can be in relationship with God and speak with him on a daily basis, knowing that the things that they ask, they will receive. The things that they go looking for, they shall get. Amen. So, his master was angry and delivered him, the Bible says, to the tortures. To the tortures. Until he should pay all that was due to him. Now, someone would say, this king was, he shouldn't have did that. But look what Jesus was delivered to go through. He was tortured. The book of Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are what? We're healed from death, from the penalty of sin. Because the Bible is clear, it says, for the wages of sin is death. So we're healed through Christ. We're healed. He was bruised. He bled. He shed his blood. For without the shedding of the blood, there was no forgiveness of sin. So the Bible says that he was sent to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. It says, verse 35, look at what it says. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, each and every one of you, from his heart, who does not forgive his brother their trespasses. I'm going to finish with this by saying, since we know we have forgiven, we know we have the greatest gift, why don't we share that with others? Why don't we extend ourselves just a little bit more this season? Maybe it's just you haven't invited somebody to church for a while. Invite them. Invite them. And sometimes you don't even have to bring them. Go to them. Maybe they're not ready. They just don't, you know, they don't want to be bothered. But they don't mind when you come by and bring them a soda or bring them a case of water. They don't mind that. That could be an open door. What has Jesus done for you and me that we can't share it with others? This Christmas season, make it something in your life every single day. Pastor Tom.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Amen. We have been given this great gift. Amen. And as Brother Ronnie so well said, this gift of forgiveness that we then have been given the opportunity to bless others with. So let me ask you to stand. I'm going to pray a blessing over you, dismiss you. If you have opportunity to come on the other side, please do. We're going to sing to Kathy. Father God, in this precious name of Jesus, that has bought us our forgiveness, or that we have freely received, not a work of ourselves, your gift to us, I've freely received. Lord, I ask that for each one of us here, from this day forward, Lord, starting even with the rest of today into tomorrow, that we would look for ways to just give something to somebody, Lord, some form of love, some expression of that, some encouraging word, because you have given us life. And that abundant life is now flowing in us. And as Ronnie said, Lord, may it overflow. You said it would overflow. Rivers of living water. You said we are salt. We are light. So God, thank you that at this time of the year when so much of the world is at least leaning, or at least thinking a little bit about this gift that you've given us, Lord, may we help take it the rest of the way and put some action to it. Make it tangible. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, and I pray this blessing over everyone here and their families in the words that you gave to Moses when you said, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Blessed and dismissed. If you need prayer or